Welcome to another edition of This F***ing Guy, the show that picks on one guy who's making America worse and explains why they suck. I'm Erin Ryan, the host of Crooked Media's Hysteria podcast.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco, the other host of Crooked Media's Hysteria podcast. Today's guy was almost the guy several months back, but we ultimately went with another guy because we were positive that this guy would be out of a government job within weeks.
But Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth is still here. And so today we're tracing the path of a himbo who has done nothing but fail up. Failed college athlete, two-time failed husband, failed leader of multiple veterans advocacy organizations, failed Senate candidate.
Taking on Amy Klobuchar on her home turf is always a mistake.
Failed thought leader, failed author, middling weekend morning show host, and now a pretty bad Secretary of Defense.
Do you mean Secretary of War?
Sure. Peter Beauregard Hegseth was born on June 6th, 1980 in Minneapolis, Minnesota, to a basketball coach dad and a business coach mom.
Wait, Erin, that cannot be right.
You caught me, Alyssa. Beauregard is not his middle name. It's Brian.
No. My dude was born in 1980. Erin, I actually would be an older and wiser and much better SecDef.
That's correct. Me and Pete Hegseth would have been in high school at the same time. When I learned that fact, it fucked me up. The guy looks pickled from the liver out.
Your skin should not have a purple undertone when you're not old enough to get the Denny Senior discount.
Pete was raised in Forest Lake, Minnesota, which I've driven through approximately 1 billion times, as it's between the town where I grew up and the nearest decent shopping mall. It's pretty nondescript. They do have a Perkins, though, which garnered a mention in Hegseth's class of 99 high school yearbook as the gang's favorite hangout.
I mean, I admit, Perkins hit the spot back when I was in Madison.
Sometimes you just want pie.
After his freshman year, Pete began a relationship with a classmate named Meredith Schwartz. The two would continue to date all the way through high school and be named most likely to marry. More on that in a bit.
If you open a dictionary to the entry for guy who peaked in high school, you won't find anything because that's not a word. But if it was, there would be a picture of Pete Hegseth next to it. Standout basketball player, the coach's son, class valedictorian.
Wow, and he seems like such a dumbass now. I guess decades of heavy drinking does make you stupid.
Hegseth considered attending West Point, but instead went to Princeton. At Princeton, he played basketball, riding the pine for two seasons and averaging 1.2 points and 0.1 rebounds per game.
Erin, is that good?
The Daily Princetonian described him as a recruiting afterthought who toiled in obscurity. Hegseth enlisted in the ROTC after the terror attacks of 9/11 and soon after found more success as a provocateur than he did on the basketball court. In 2002, he served as editor-in-chief and publisher of a student newspaper called the Princeton Tory, a place for the most tedious dorks on campus to present conservative ideas to a young audience. The big, bold cover line on Hegseth's first issue as a publisher read, "Coming out of the closet."
What?
I think it's supposed to be like a double entendre referencing the closet, like office where Tory staff worked, and also like a reference to being gay. I don't know.
Oh, maybe he should workshop that one a little bit more. The thing about conservative ideas is that they don't really change. So the stuff Hegseth was publishing in the Tory 23 years ago was the same run-of-the-mill college conservative drivel that had been published for generations and will continue to be published for generations to come. We keep getting older, but those opinions stay the same.
All right. Opinions like homosexuality is a sin, America needs more God, nuclear family good, feminism bad.
And of course, since this was the early 2000s, he was simping for the Iraq War.
Hegseth has always seemed to have had a bit of a punishment fetish, writing in the Tories' March 2002 issue that the reason that some Americans sympathized with the Taliban was because they lacked a male disciplinary figure. Later in that article, Hegseth advocated parental discipline that included spanking and shoving soap in children's mouths.
Hot take for the ages. Of course, there was the requisite railing against DEI. Back then, it was just called diversity. Here's what Hegseth wrote about that. Quote, race can be a legitimate part of what makes up a diverse campus, but it also doesn't define anyone. Alan Keyes is a black man, but if Princeton hired him as a professor, his skin color alone would add nothing to the diversity of this campus. His intelligent conservative viewpoints, on the other hand, would be a blast of fresh air.
In addition to fantasizing about being blasted by Alan Keyes, working at the Tory gave Pete the opportunity to publicly hate women, a hobby he enjoys to this day. He once got in an altercation with a female classmate who claims she confronted the future cabinet official for tearing down posters for Princeton's feminist group, the Organization for Women Leaders, otherwise known as OWL.
On his watch, Hegseth Paper published a cover image featuring a cartoon owl in a gun's crosshairs. on page 3 that Owl's head had 3 bloody holes in it, under the headline, "Killing Feminism, Owl Sabotages the Women's Movement."
It's not legal to shoot owls or women, Peter. Mm. The women of Owl tried to make peace with Hegseth, but according to one of his classmates, Hegseth showed up wearing his ROTC uniform in what she interpreted as an attempt to intimidate them.
So theatrical.
He loves drama. Hegseth also got himself into some hot water over publishing claims that having sex with an unconscious woman was not rape.
I'm sorry, what?
Here's the exact quote from an opinion column that ran in the Tory. The columnist is describing a session he had to attend during college orientation where attendees had to determine whether a sketch mentioning a man having sex with a passed out woman counted as rape. Quote, "The actual instance portrayed in the skit was in fact not a clear case of rape, at least not in my home state. In short, though intercourse was not consented to, there was no duress because the girl drank herself into unconsciousness. Both criteria must be satisfied for rape. Unfortunately, the panelists never cited any legal definition of rape, yet the panel, all females in the session I attended, claimed that rape it was."
Quite the hill to die on, Peter. A May 2025 Daily Princetonian review of Hegseth's senior thesis found at least 8 instances of possible plagiarism, from failing to credit source material all the way up to word-for-word copying. One plagiarism expert that the student paper consulted compared Hegseth's plagiarism to the plagiarism that has gotten other public figures and academics in hot water, like Harvard president Claudine Gay, whose plagiarism was later used as a pretext to oust her from her position.
Interesting. Hegseth graduated from Princeton in 2003, and in 2004, married the girl that his high school classmates predicted he'd marry, Meredith. During the early years of their marriage, he was commissioned as an infantry officer in the National Guard and deployed to Guantanamo Bay, Iraq, and Afghanistan.
In Samarra, Iraq, in 2006, soldiers in the 101st Airborne Division's 3rd Brigade combat team set 3 Iraqi detainees free and shot them in the back as they were running away. A war crime. They lied to their commanders about it, claiming the detainees escaped and attacked them. 2 soldiers were eventually convicted of murder, and the career of the troop's brigadier commander was given a black mark on his military resume that ended his career.
Pete Hegseth was not there that night, but the convicted murderers were in Pete Hegseth's unit. And ever since that incident, he's had a hard-on for letting American troops do war crimes.
Hegseth has written that he felt lost after returning to the U.S. from his deployments, but rather than recoiling at the horror of mechanized death or questioning the value in offering up human lives in defense of American business interests, he found meaning again in advocating for more war. In 2006, he started working with a pro-war veterans organization called Veterans for Freedom.
VFF was meant to appear like it was a grassroots movement for pro-war American troops who just wanted to get themselves and all their friends and colleagues blown up in the Middle East as soon as possible. But it was actually what's known as an AstroTurf organization. Oh, Alyssa, AstroTurf. Fake grass. I just got that, like, right now.
Oh, VFF was actually founded with money from 3 conservative billionaires who are now dead. Bernard Marcus, the founder of Home Depot. Jerry Parencio, a longtime Univision executive who lived in the mansion from the Beverly Hillbillies. And businessman and former neighbor of Oprah Winfrey, Harold Simmons. Between the 3 of them, they've been married a total of 8 times. Just a fun fact about these boosters of conservative family values.
Journalist Jane Mayer also found ties between the organization and other shadowy right-wing money men like Paul Singer. You might know Paul Singer as the guy standing to the left of Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito, wearing pristine waders and holding a giant salmon in the picture atop a blockbuster ProPublica story that revealed that Paul Singer paid for Samuel Alito to go on a luxury Alaskan fishing trip. Alito did not disclose it and later did not recuse himself from Supreme Court cases directly involving Paul Singer's companies.
These fucking guys.
In 2007, Hegseth became the leader of VFF. He was a dog shit leader, running the financials of the organization into the ground, even as it raised more money than ever. Pete mismanaged the money the organization did manage to raise, with financial records indicating that by the end of 2008, VFF was nearly broke.
And by broke, I mean deep enough in a hole to consider jumping from a Vegas hotel window, with under $1,000 in the bank and more than $400,000 in liabilities. Donors commissioned a forensic audit that confirmed that this was a Pete Hegseth problem.
The group's options were give Pete more money to fix it.
Bad idea.
Or shut the organization down entirely, which they kind of did. VFF ended up merging with a group called Military Families United, which took over operations of the group as Hegseth's role diminished. In 2010, he was only being paid a $45,000 salary. One of Mayer's sources described this move as castrating Hegseth.
Where did the money go? There were rumors that Pete basically drank it all away.
Well, he was destroying his first veterans organization. He was also destroying his marriage. He and Meredith had been living apart as Pete's advocacy work for VFF required he be in Washington, and her job was in New York. But he told Meredith that he was planning on moving back to Minnesota to attend graduate school. Meredith dutifully moved home and found a new job in the Twin Cities. But Pete never followed through on those plans, and in 2008, according to Vanity Fair, showed up to Meredith's house in his army uniform to confess to her that he'd cheated on her. He'd had not one, but five affairs.
Erin, five separate relationships, not just five times? Okay. Okay, this guy loves to put on an army uniform when he knows a woman is mad at him.
Meredith wanted to make it work. This was her first love. She'd built her whole life around him. But she finally filed for divorce when she noticed a suspicious charge on their credit card bill for a hotel room. The divorce left her scarred emotionally and psychologically. I feel really bad for her. Mm-hmm. And that hotel room, that was likely for Pete to use to boink the woman who'd become his second wife, Samantha Deering, who Pete met because they were co-workers at VFF.
Pete and Samantha would go on to have a child, quote, out of wedlock, unquote, in Pete's words, in an essay about family values. But Pete made an honest woman out of her and married what he would describe in that essay as his, quote, ultimate wife, unquote, shortly after their son was born.
Ultimate wife sounds like a great wrestler
ultimate
name.
Wife.
She's got a rolling pin. Ultimate wife. The son that Samantha and Pete had is named Gunner. Now, we like to leave kids out of these videos because it's not their fault that their dad sucks. But I must momentarily zero in on the names that Hegseth gave the three sons that he and Samantha would have together. They're like the names that a 12-year-old boy would give to a pet lizard.
Gunner, Boone, and Rex. Yep. Checks out.
As VFF slowly froze him out, Pete knew that he needed another act, and fast. Fortunately, he was still young and comfortable being an Olympian hypocrite, so he thought he'd give Republican politics a try.
There are only a few rules that one must follow in life. You can't win the land war in Afghanistan, don't shit where you eat, and don't run for office against Amy Klobuchar in the state of Minnesota. Hegseth had already broken two of those rules and was about to break the third.
On March 1st, 2012, Pete announced that he'd be vying for the Republican nomination for Amy Klobuchar's Senate seat. Ever the money spender, he even put out a high-budget campaign ad co-starring his mistress-turned-new wife and out-of-wedlock baby.
Pete's a great dad. He approaches fatherhood like he does everything else, hands-on and 100%.
He's just devoted to his wife. He's devoted to his son. They have another one on the way, and it's just a thrill for us as parents to watch them be parents.
I didn't learn conservatism out of a book. I learned it lived out in front of me by my parents, by our family, by our church community, by everyone who sort of took the time to say, this is what's important in life and how you should live it out.
That is he was cheating on his first wife with that woman. Oh my God.
Penny would shortly be singing a different tune.
Mm-mm-mm. His political views were also very bad. Hegseth was an interventionist. He supported waterboarding, using the military in domestic settings, the pardon of soldiers convicted of war crimes. He was also stridently opposed to women in combat roles, maybe because his horn dog past proves that he can't be around any woman at all without dropping his gun and going awooga like a horny wolf in a Tex Avery cartoon. Pete had aspirations. The Minnesota GOP had other plans. In May, the party nominated someone else for the seat at its convention, which meant that Heggie didn't even make it to the primary, and Amy Klobuchar ended up winning the general by 35 points.
Hegseth's campaign didn't even last nine Scaramucci's. But that's okay. Pete was about to fail upwards once again. By 2013, he was put in charge of a different fake grassroots organization, this one funded by the Koch brothers, Concerned Veterans for America. He'd hold the position for three gin-soaked years.
We know a lot about Hegseth's antics at the head of the CVA because it was the subject of many employee complaints, including a seven-page-long whistleblower report about what a drunken moron he was. It became the subject of a long-form piece by The New Yorker's Jane Mayer. Here are some of the things he's alleged to have done in his official role as the CEO of CVA, according to Mayer. Hegseth was, quote, repeatedly intoxicated while acting in his official capacity to the point of needing to be carried out of the organization's events.
In 2014, he, quote, had to be restrained while drunk from joining the dancers on the stage of a Louisiana strip club where he had brought his team. Work party at a strip club? What could go wrong?
At that same strip club work party, one female employee alleges that another executive attempted to sexually assault her, but her report was ignored because the guy who tried to do it was drunk and it was just an honest drunken mistake.
In 2015, while on an official tour for the organization, Pete drunkenly chanted, "Kill all Muslims," at the Sheraton Suites Hotel in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. He threw food from the balcony at the company's Christmas party at the Grand Hyatt Hotel. And at an event in Virginia Beach in 2014, he was so drunk that somebody needed to carry him back to his hotel room.
Heck, Seth, being too drunk to walk and needing help getting to bed at company functions was a regular occurrence, as was the CEO getting handsy and screwing around on his wife, who was back home in Minnesota raising their sons.
By early 2016, Pete was forced out of the organization. He tried to finesse it like a mutual decision, but he didn't have another job lined up. Shortly after he was ousted from Concerned Veterans for America, the new president of the group received an email with the subject line, "Congratulations on removing Pete Hegseth."
I kind of want that on merch. Even though he was pouring enough alcohol down his throat to pay for several Princeton degrees, he was still raking in the professional handouts. In 2014, he became an on-air contributor to Fox News, where one particular producer named Jennifer Roche decided that she liked the cut of Pete's jib and started giving him a lot of airtime. A suspicious amount. Pete would soon prove himself to be a formidable journalist and commentator. Like Edward R. Murrow and Christiane Amanpour had a baby and fed it tequila instead of milk.
In 2015, during a Flag Day celebration, Pete Hegseth threw an axe at a target and missed the target completely. Instead, the axe hit a drummer in the West Point band. That drummer ended up suing Hegseth, claiming that he suffered severe and serious personal injuries to his mind and body, as well as permanent effects of pain, disability, disfigurement, and loss of body function.
Hitting somebody with an axe might get somebody fired or at least suspended from another network, but not Fox. Pete was made a permanent host of Fox and Friends Weekend by 2017, once again failing up after being forced out of his second veterans organization because of his mismanagement and drunken antics.
One of his most memorable moments came in 2019 when he casually quipped to his co-host that he hadn't washed his hands in 10 years.
As I told you, my 2019 resolution is to say things on air that I say off air. I don't think I've washed my hands for 10 years. Really, I don't really wash my hands.
Someone help me.
No, I inoculate myself. It's just not, germs are not a real thing. I can't see them. Therefore, they're not real.
So you're becoming immune?
And there's the reason he never got prime time.
Like, oh my God, we got Typhoid Mary in there. Just became its own mini news cycle with Hegseth later explaining that he was just joking around. Like being a gross person who smears their own poop germs everywhere they touch because they reject science is hilarious.
Meanwhile, once again, Pete Hegseth had not learned his lesson. An NBC News report from 2024 found 10 of Pete's old Fox News co-workers willing to go on the record about what a sloppy mess he was, showing up to work reeking of alcohol and repeatedly discussing being hungover. He was constantly late for hair and makeup.
You know, morning show host is a pretty bad job for someone with a drinking problem.
While it seems that Hegseth's troublesome frat boy antics were well known in the circles he ran in, the general public became aware of it when President Trump announced his intent to nominate him for Secretary of Defense. When Fox News covered the nomination, they downplayed or straight up didn't cover the parts of the story about him showing up drunk to Fox News.
In response to the waterfall of Pete Hegseth is a booze hound stories, a spokesperson for the Trump transition team said, "These disgusting allegations are completely unfounded and false. Anyone peddling these defamatory lies to score political cheap shots is sickening. As a decorated combat veteran, Pete has never done anything to jeopardize that, and he is treating this nomination as the most important deployment of his life."
Interesting note. Infidelity is against the rules in the military, UCMJ Article 134 to be exact. People can and do get court-martialed or even discharged for having extramarital sex, especially in a manner that brings discredit onto the armed forces. And Pete was in the military when he showed up at his first wife's house in his uniform to admit to her that he'd spent much of their marriage screwing around and was a reservist until 2021. His service spanned the entirety of his slut phase.
Speaking of screwing around, remember that Fox News producer named Jennifer who saw potential in our boy? Well, turns out he was banging her.
Slept his way to the top.
Meanwhile, back in Minnesota, the woman who Hegseth had once called his ultimate wife in an essay about family values, the woman who was the mother of his three lizard-named sons, learned that Pete had peed without a condom and impregnated producer Jennifer Roche, who was also married with three kids at the time. In 2017, Jennifer gave birth to Pete's fourth child.
That we know of.
True, that we know of. All that drunken dick waving, who can say for sure. Pete's second wife filed for divorce the month after Pete's future third wife had given birth. And at this point, Pete's mom stepped in, sending him an irate email that the New York Times printed when he was being considered for Secretary of Defense. Alyssa, will you do the honors and give some excerpts of it a dramatic read?
Of course. Son, I have tried to keep quiet about your character and behavior, but after listening to the way you made Samantha feel today, I cannot stay silent. And as a woman and your mother, I feel I must speak out. You are an abuser of women. That is the ugly truth, and I have no respect for any man that belittles, lies, cheats, sleeps around, and uses women for his own power and ego. You are that man and have been for years. And as your mother, it pains me and embarrasses me to say that, but it is the sad, sad truth. She continues. On behalf of all the women, and I know it's many, you have abused in some way, I say, get some help and take an honest look at yourself. Mom.
Penelope Hegseth, that was quite the missive.
Prose.
Yeah. Now Hegseth's mom says she's apologized to him for sending that and no longer feels that way about her son, but no lies spotted. This fucking guy is brought to you by Green Chef. Fall is my favorite season. I love to wrap myself in sweaters that are basically blankets. I just want to get out there and enjoy the weather being nice and tolerable and cooling off. And with Green Chef, the number one meal kit for clean eating, you can do just that. Green Chef makes it easy to spend less time in the kitchen and more time enjoying fall. And with their new Heat and Eat meals, enjoy a delicious, wholesome meal in just 3 minutes. Perfect for supporting your wellness journey. Green Chef recipes feature fresh, organic, seasonal produce and 100% responsibly sourced proteins to help you feel your best. Green Chef's real, clean ingredients help you build lasting, healthy habits without all the hassle. Enjoy salads ready in just 5 minutes, protein-filled breakfasts, or nutrient-rich smoothies to fuel your day. Green Chef is ready to nurture your nutritional needs. With 80-plus dietitian-approved weekly meal options, Green Chef makes it easy to find meals that fit your lifestyle. Pick from Mediterranean, gluten-free, plant-based and protein-heavy, even gut and brain health, and calorie-smart choices too. The recipes change every week, and with week-to-week flexibility, you can adjust your plan to match your mood and your schedule. You know, I've got two little kids. Basically, every minute of my life is spoken for. And so if I want to really have any time to chill out and relax and enjoy myself, Green Chef is what gives me more of those minutes back. I love it because it is healthy. The recipes are great. Changes every week. I never get bored with it. And most important to me personally, it gives me a little time to like lay down on my couch at the end of the day and just watch the latest South Park. Make this fall your healthiest yet with Green Chef. Head to greenchef.com/50hysteria and use code 50hysteria to get 50% off your first month, then 20% off for 2 months with free shipping. That's code 50hysteria at greenchef.com/50hysteria.
Now that he's met his ultimate partner, Pete finally settled down, right?
No. In October, shortly after his future third wife had given birth and his future second ex-wife had filed for divorce, Hegseth was the keynote speaker at the Republican Federation of Republican Women's Convention in Monterey, California.
After his speech, of course, Hegseth couldn't wait to start throwing him back. At the after-after party, the woman who would later accuse Hegseth of sexual assault intervened to protect another woman he was getting handsy with. Surveillance footage showed the accuser escorting Hegseth away from the bar, and soon after, hotel staff reported a loud argument between them by the pool. Hegseth was very drunk and yelling about what a good guy he was.
Which is definitely a thing that actual good guys do all the time. I'm a good guy! Meanwhile, the accuser was texting her husband, who was staying in the same hotel with their two small children, and calling Hegseth a creeper.
Hours later, she returned to the hotel room she shared with her husband and kids, but later had flashbacks and nightmares about the encounter. She recalled Hegseth blocking the door and assaulting her despite her saying no multiple times. She remembered his dog tags jangling above her. 4 days later, the woman went to a hospital for a rape exam, suspecting she had been drugged. She initially did not want to include Hegseth's name on the report because of his fame. There were no criminal charges filed, but in 2020, Hegseth secretly reached a $50,000 settlement with the woman, who also signed an NDA.
When all this, including the police report, resurfaced when he was being considered for Secretary of Defense, Hegseth said he wasn't drunk, he was buzzed. Oh, okay, well then it's fine. And that the criminal investigation resulting in no charges totally exonerated him. Although he did acknowledge having consensual sex with a woman, he hadn't told the Trump transition team that this incident had happened in the first place. Meanwhile, Hegseth was still being booked to speak at conservative conferences without the people booking him knowing about what had happened in California. In January 2019, for example, he was the keynote speaker at Liberty University's convocation. So he was around literally thousands of college-age women. And at other events, he ostensibly had access to an open bar. Like, if I were somebody who had booked him to speak at my event and not known that there was a police report about an alleged rape at another similar event, I'd be pretty pissed.
Apparently, Jennifer Roche was able to move past it. And after Jennifer left her husband and Hegseth's messy divorce was finalized and sealed with a pair of NDAs, in 2019, the two former Fox News co-workers were joined in holy matrimony at the Trump National Golf Club in Colts Neck, New Jersey. Donald Trump was there. Sean Hannity and Ainsley Earhart arrived together in a helicopter. The bride wore white.
Given his entire romantic track record, I hope she kept the receipt for the gown. By the time he'd hit 40, Hegseth had torpedoed four families, sunk two nonprofits, and lost one election so badly that he didn't make it to the primary. He was accelerating toward rock bottom like Fat Boy over Hiroshima, all while continuing to advance professionally. But Pete wasn't done.
No, in 2020, he wrote American Crusade, Our Right to Stay Free, a chicken hawk screed pitting something he made up called Americanism against the evil leftist forces of feminism, progressivism, and globalism. The book was not a hit, but it did have cover art that could not be any gayer. It features a comic book level idealized version of Hegseth in a short sleeve black t-shirt, some of his dumb tattoos exposed as he two-handed grips a flagpole he's waving from waist height.
It would look gayer if we pixelated the hands and pole.
I stand corrected. That would look gayer.
Donald Trump loves that shit. He loves people who are theatrical, larger than life, fun to watch on television. And he loves it when those people offer him unhesitating obedience, which explains why some of the irresponsible, unchecked lines Hegseth spouted on Fox and Friends eventually came out of the president's mouth. For example, according to Peter Baker and Susan Glasser's book, The Divider, in 2018, Hegseth claimed on Fox and Friends that unknown Middle Easterners had infiltrated a migrant caravan heading north from Central America. President Trump repeated it. Hegseth later admitted that he hadn't really vetted his own statement for accuracy. There was also the time that Pete Hegseth derailed negotiations meant to stop a government shutdown because Democrats had not given Trump $5 billion for his border wall.
And remember when President Trump pardoned three war criminals, including certifiable lunatic Eddie Gallagher, the American soldier who stabbed a 17-year-old detainee to death? Hegseth claims to have influenced that, too.
Hegseth, like a lot of men women regret sleeping with, has a lot of bad tattoos. A cross and sword with the Hebrew word for Jesus, a political cartoon, the words, "We the people." The coat of arms of his military regiment, the Latin phrase, ne desit virtus, which means it's raining men. Just kidding. It means let valor not fail. He has a ridiculously large Jerusalem cross on his right pectoral and another phrase, deus vult, on his right bicep near the Arabic word for non-believer.
In addition to being corny as hell, a couple of those are why he was flagged as a potential insider threat to Joe Biden's inauguration in 2021. After some homoerotic footage of him swimming with some male pals with all his tattoos out made the rounds in military group chats.
How's it looking out there? Todd, it's looking about like we're about to get wet, and there's already a big chunk of seals setting the pace. My man Kaj is right in front of me. He's got the Kaj cam. He's going to try to bring you the first-hand view, and I'll be thinking about that Statue of Liberty, that Freedom Tower, that Ellis Island, the GI Go Fund, and all the vets and all the seals that have done so much. That's what's to ponder.
Okay, hear me out.
Okay.
Hear me out. So you know how we've talked about that if Donald Trump had just won an Emmy for The Apprentice, we might not be in this whole mess right now?
Yeah.
If they had just put Hegseth in prime time, we may not be in this mess right now.
That's true. If they would have just given him Tucker's slot.
The guy loves the camera. Deus vult means God's will. It is a phrase that can be perfectly innocent, but it's also favored by white supremacist groups and the Proud Boys. And next to that garishly large cross, which was a symbol used during the Crusades, well, a whistle was blown, and Hegseth wasn't called up to help serve as a member of the National Guard that day.
In 2022, Hegseth wrote another book, this one called The War on Warriors, and it's just as corny as it sounds. Fox News' website printed an excerpt from it, a letter he wrote to his male children, but not his female child. In it, he starts with the requisite self-mythologizing that his children were raised in a strong Christian household and that the greatest thing he's ever done with his life is serve in the military. He says he hopes that his three sons and two stepsons all serve in the military and that when they do they take it all the way? He fantasizes about them joining the Navy SEALs, the Army Rangers, the Green Berets, the Marine Raiders, because, quote, elite units usually skip most of, excuse my language, but it's true, the bullshit.
Now, keep in mind, Hegseth was not in an elite unit. He does not have a Ranger pin. He did not attend SEAL training. He is not a Marine. He's not a Green Beret. But he sure feels strongly about barring women who are physically capable of meeting the standards that he never could meet himself from being able to serve in those roles.
Also in 2022, Hegseth donated $1,000 to the congressional campaign of a New Jersey gym owner and frequent Fox News guest named Ian Smith. A few weeks after Smith's second drunk driving arrest became public, Smith's first drunk driving incident came when he was 20 years old, drank 10 to 12 beers, and killed somebody with his car. He was sentenced to 5.5 years in prison for vehicular manslaughter. Great place to put your money, Pete.
Unrepentant booze hounds got to stick together. On Fox and Friends in 2022, he wrote, "Return to sender" on his graduate degree from Harvard in response to DEI initiatives in the Ivy League.
By the way, Harvard University? Let's see. Let's do that.
Oh, my God.
I think we'd go with Critical Theory
I think Lou's having a harder time than your mom.
I think it should be renamed Critical Theory University.
Okay.
Return to sender right here, and then I'll just sign it for good.
When Harvard saw the cover of his book, they were like, "We shall take that diploma back. Thank you so much." In 2023, Hegseth interviewed a Christian nationalist podcaster named Gabriel Wrench on Fox News. Wrench had just won a lawsuit against the town of Moscow, Idaho, over an anti-masking protest organized by Christ Church. Now, Christ Church of Bumfuck, Idaho, isn't just some random church to Hegseth. It's a church run by far-right fringe Christian nationalist Pastor Doug Wilson, who co-founded the Communion of Reformed Evangelical Churches, or CREC. Hegseth's church in Tennessee belongs to this network.
Doug Wilson is a male authority figure with a punishment kink, and Pete Hegseth wants more than anything to be bossed around and threatened punishment from a strong male authority figure. So naturally, Hegseth admires Wilson. Wilson believes that women shouldn't be allowed to vote or serve in combat roles in the military. He believes wives should submit to their husbands, and America should be a Christian theocracy run by biblical principles, and that homosexuality should be illegal.
Earlier this year, Hegseth approvingly posted this clip of Wilson spouting some of his nonsense.
I'd like to see the town be a Christian town. I'd like to see the nation be a Christian nation. I'd like to see the world be a Christian world. Women are the kind of people that people come out of.
So you just think they're meant to have babies. That's it. They're just a vessel.
No, it doesn't take any talent to simply reproduce biologically.
I'm here as a working journalist, and I'm a mom of three.
Good for you.
Is that an issue for you?
No, it's not automatically an issue.
And now there's a monthly prayer service at the Pentagon initiated by Hegseth, Wilson's highest level connection to the administration.
It's not organizationally tied to us, but it's the kind of thing we love to see.
Why is the master race always so ugly?
After Trump won re-election in 2024, Hegseth's name almost immediately rose to the top of the list of people he was considering for Secretary of Defense. He stepped down from Fox.
Did Hegseth have experience successfully managing a large organization comparable to the Department of Defense? No, but he did have experience ruining two small organizations.
Did he have extensive combat experience or a long military career? Also no. But he did have experience armchair defending perpetrators of war crimes that he did not personally witness. But none of that mattered to President Donald Trump Part 2, Cankles of Rage, who populated his cabinet the second time around like he was casting a reality TV show. And Pete had been somebody who had been loudly, confidently wrong in a way that made Donald Trump feel good about himself for years.
Plus, Hegseth's overwrought drag-level performance of masculinity matched the WWE energy that Trump loves. So that's more than enough to qualify him to manage an $850 billion budget and 2.87 million people, right?
Well, during the confirmation hearings, Democrats drilled him on his problematic drinking, sexual assault and misconduct allegations, and his atrocious professional record.
Many of your work colleagues have said that you show up for work under the influence of alcohol or drunk. I know you've denied that, but you would agree with me, right, that if that was the case, that would be disqualifying for somebody to be Secretary of Defense.
Senator, those are all anonymous false claims, and the totality
They're not anonymous.
The letters on the record here.
They're not anonymous.
On the record, people
we've seen records with names attached to them.
I'm not a perfect person, but redemption is real. And God forged me in ways that I know I'm prepared for.
Hegseth shrugged all the allegations off as part of a coordinated smear campaign. Aaron, I wish the 2025 Democrats were organized and diabolical enough to pull off a coordinated smear campaign.
My God, we all do. Your lips to God's ears. Write it on the Statue of Liberty. Bring me your schemers. Ultimately, Democrats didn't have enough votes to block Hegseth's confirmation. Republicans did that thing Republicans do, which is negotiate so that a few of them can peel off to perform concern kabuki for their constituents without actually impeding the Trump agenda. Ultimately, Vice President J.D. Vance cast the tie-breaking vote, and Hegseth was confirmed 51-50.
As Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth beat expectations by being even worse than his naysayers had feared. In March 2025, CENTCOM Commander General Eric Kurilla securely sent Hegseth information about impending military operations in Yemen, including the launch times of F-18 aircraft, drones, Tomahawk missiles, and even when bombs would hit their targets.
The code name for this military operation was Operation Rough Rider, which somehow sounds even gayer than Hegseth's book cover.
Hegseth then took that securely shared classified information and passed it along word for word to two Signal group chats. One of them consisted of high-level Trump administration officials. The other included his wife, his brother, who's a podcast producer, and his personal lawyer.
His wife has also been included in at least two high-level meetings where foreign defense was discussed. His kid brother was given a job working as a Department of Homeland Security liaison to the Department of Defense, circumventing anti-nepotism rules. So, Alyssa, I have a theory about why Pete's third wife, Jennifer, is, like, so involved in all of his shit.
Okay.
Pete Hegseth is a serial cheater, and he offered to do this to calm his wife down after he fucked up in some big way. Like, this gives me shared Facebook account vibes. But, like, at the top echelons of the U.S. government.
Aaron, 100%. That is exactly what was going on there. Except there was one big whoopsie. One of the participants in the Trump administration group chat accidentally added the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, Jeffrey Goldberg. And Goldberg published a redacted version of it in The Atlantic.
When Goldberg's initial report ran, Hegseth lied to cover it up, claiming that no classified information was shared. And that, I'm assuming, pissed Jeffrey Goldberg off. He published the entire unredacted transcript of the chat the next day. But if you're somebody who is plugged into Fox News all day, like an old model iPhone deep in planned obsolescence, there were only 40 seconds of coverage of the scandal involving a Fox News personality on Fox News.
After the leak, media outlet Der Spiegel found Hegseth's personal contact information online through password leaks related to the incident, exposing his personal phone, email, and WhatsApp accounts, which would have left him vulnerable to hacks from anybody with enough savvy to navigate the deep web.
Lucky for those of us whose bread and butter is clips of high-level public officials looking stupid, all this happened in the run-up to Easter. And at the White House Easter egg roll on Easter Monday this year, Pete unloaded on a gaggle of media as a few of his kids cringed in frame.
Do you have anything you want to say, sir, about the Signal chat controversy?
You know, what a big surprise that a few leakers get fired and suddenly a bunch of hit pieces come out from the same media that peddled the Russia hoax. See, this is what the media does. They take anonymous sources from disgruntled former employees, and then they try to slash and burn people and ruin their reputations. Not going to work with me. So I'm happy to be here at the Easter egg roll with my dad and my kids. Because, you know, this is what we're doing it for. These kids right here. This is why we're fighting the fake news media. This is why we're fighting slash and burn Democrats. This is why we're fighting hoaxsters. Hoaxsters.
That wouldn't be the only time that Pete Hegseth was stupid about the internet. Like, even before Signalgate, an American Prospect reporter discovered his public Venmo friends list in February. On the list were a lot of people who maybe shouldn't be sending or receiving money from the Secretary of Defense.
Like?
Several executives from Peter Thiel-owned companies like Palantir.
Hey, second Peter Thiel sighting.
High-level execs from Google, reporters from the New York Times, Laura Loomer.
Oh.
Lots of people who work for companies who have defense contracts and probably want more defense contracts. There are also many high-ranking officials at United Healthcare, Luigi Mangione's least favorite insurance company.
You'd think such an accomplished philanderer would be better at InfoSec.
In July, Hegseth posted to social media a video of himself looking clownish while talking about drone warfare.
You know what? We know why we were put here. We were brought here to rebuild the military, match capabilities to the threats of today. So while our adversaries have produced millions of cheap drones, before us, we were mired in bureaucratic red tape. Not anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, he has the exact same gait as my one-year-old after she poops.
Part of the reason the video is so painfully awkward is that it's supposed to have music in it, but the Department of Defense had to take the video down because the DOD had made the mistake of using the Metallica song Enter Sandman. Sorry, but someone who was in college between 1999 and 2003, peak Napster, should have known that Metallica does not play around with people using their music when they don't want them to.
Hegseth's psychotic obsession with not being around women in a no-fucking context has spilled into his time as Secretary of Defense.
A little background. Under President Obama, for the first time, women who met physical standards set by the branches of the armed forces were allowed to fill combat roles. The standards were mostly gender neutral, like, for example, in the Army Ranger School, every candidate must pass the same physical fitness test on the very first day, or they fail out.
So basically, women who want to fill combat roles, which they were already unofficially filling before Obama lifted the ban, by the way, they basically just need to do everything physically that the men can do.
Right. Service members do take a semi-annual fitness test, and those are adjusted for age and gender. But to qualify for combat roles, women have to do the same stuff men do. But Pete Hegseth is LARPing like that's not the case. In media appearances, he's insisted that lower standards for women are hurting our trope's lethality. And on April 28th and May 6th, 2025, the USS Harry Truman, which was stationed in the Red Sea, lost two separate F-18 aircraft. The first one slid off the deck and into the ocean as the ship dodged Houthi fire. The second one was attempting to land when the arresting cable broke.
That's like the cable the plane hooks up to when it lands, like in Top Gun, right?
Yes, like in Top Gun. Maverick would never.
In late September, Hegseth invited all of our military's top officers to an in-person meeting in Quantico in Virginia. The stupidity of putting all 800 of those people in the same place at the same time aside, when the meeting was first announced, people were abuzz with worry about what it could be about.
But they needn't have worried. In fact, a better response would have been to be irritated. Hegseth called the meeting because he wanted to stomp around on stage like Hermann Göring and pontificate like a big man about how the war on warriors is over and that in the future, he doesn't want any high-level military officials to be fat. He then introduced our lard-ass commander-in-chief, Donald Trump.
So this meeting that could have been an email was to announce a no fatties policy. Are we sure this meeting couldn't have been a Grindr profile? Hegseth's tenure as Secretary of Defense has been characterized by staff turnover, perpetual dick-measuring contests, disastrous leaks, family nepotism, and policy paralysis, a.k.a. actually not getting anything done. Kind of like what happened in every other supervisory job he's ever had.
And it's only a matter of time before what social media calls Trump's DUI hire really gets us into trouble.
Hegseth loves rules, but only for other people. And he knows that if he sucks up hard enough to the man in charge, then he'll be exempt from them. But I think the biggest key to understanding Hegseth is examining why he hates women so much. And Alyssa, I have a theory.
Okay.
I think he hates women because he acts like one. Or at least he acts like how misogynists think women act. Okay, hear me out. Pete Hegseth got jobs he's not qualified for because of how he looks. He slept his way to the top. He's over-emotional and spends money recklessly. A woman named Petra Hegseth would be the villain in the cast of The Real Housewives of Minnetonka, not running the Department of Defense. Like, misogyny is why we have this himbo slut in charge of our nuclear arsenal.
Out of all the people that Trump could have picked, how did we end up with not even primetime Fox News? Weekend Fox News, Aaron. Weekend Fox News.
There you have it. Pete Hegseth is a philandering, hyper-Christian family values enthusiast who definitely isn't secretly gay. Alyssa, how do you rate Pete Hegseth on our matrix of fucking guys?
Okay, so I have to go with reckless dumbass. But I don't know about my X-axis, Aaron. Mm. Opportunist? True. I don't know if he's a... Maybe he's a zealot. All right, I'm going to go with reckless dumbass and true believing zealot. What about you?
I'm in the same place, I think.
Okay.
I think there's evidence that he has always been kind of righty. Like, even when he got to college, he wasn't like suddenly he took a turn, even though he has kind of tried to retell his own story as though he like became more conservative. But it seems like he kind of always was.
That wraps up the time we have for this episode of This Fucking Guy. If you like what you've seen, hit subscribe, share with your friends, and leave us a comment if you've got an idea for a future fucking guy we should spotlight.
Yeah. This episode was written by me with an assist from Alyssa Mastromonaco. Thank you, Alyssa. Caroline Reston is Hysteria's senior producer, and all the rest of the credits, as well as links to our sources, can be found in the YouTube description and in our show notes.
Take care. Be well. Don't take your coworkers to a strip club.
And fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
If you guys like Pod Save America, please consider subscribing to our Friends of the Pod program. So Friends of the Pod get lots of stuff. You get more Pod Save America. That includes our new show, which is called Pod Save America Only Friends.
It's where Dan gets naked.
Where Dan gets full frontal nudity, but mostly it's a bi-weekly subscription-exclusive podcast that is basically Pod Save America, but behind a paywall. So it's a little bit looser and more fun. And it's Lovett and Favreau and me and Pfeiffer and then other Crooked hosts. We go deeper on the news and cover more stories. You also get Open Tabs, which is a weekly behind-the-scenes newsletter from the show. Plus, you get ad-free episodes of your favorite Crooked podcasts and all kinds of other stuff. Dan will come to your house and clean it once every quarter.
Yeah, clothed.
Dan is very busy, clothed only. But along with just getting great content, becoming a friend of the pod, joining our subscription community is the number one thing you can do to help us grow, to help independent progressive media. So if you've ever thought about doing it, if you ever wanted more Pod Save America, consider going to crooked.com/friends and becoming a friend of the pod.